I just stand for prayer. We sing, "Hallowed be your name, divine authority." Father, we give praise to your name this morning. And now, dear Lord, as Marcus opens your word that you've prepared through him this morning, we pray that you'll firstly bless him, anoint him with the power of the Holy Spirit, and for us too, that as we listen attentively with our minds and with our hearts, that we will take the message personally and collectively as a fellowship here this morning. So, Father, bless Marcus and bless each of us here this morning, I pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Isn't it lovely to sing the words, "Hallowed be your name, holy is your name, sacred is your name, set apart from anything else is your name, O Lord." It's lovely to sing those words, lovely to receive those words from the choirs they sang to us. We've had a good time of worship this morning. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Everything just been beautiful, beautiful act of worship. What a privilege to come into the presence of God. Well, we have begun the season of Lent within the Christian tradition, part of the Christian calendar that comes around everywhere, various kind of festivals that are remembered and celebrated as the year kind of goes through. Starting with Advent, that's where the Christian year starts. Just the kind of end of November, beginning of December, Advent, that's when it starts and works all the way through back until that time again the following year. But here we are in the middle of it, in Lent, in the run-up to Easter. Some of you may have just this past Wednesday begun Lent by going to a service to receive ashes on Ash Wednesday, to recognize who you are in Christ, and your mortality, and the fact that God has made you that way, but one day you will rejoice with him. That's where Lent begins. And what we're doing over the next few weeks is we're having a little series in our sermons and in our cell groups looking at everyday Lent. And now what we mean by that is we're looking at objects that you have in your house and home that you can use as a little way of thinking about God and thinking about Jesus and thinking about the stories of the Bible, little aid memoirs, I suppose you would call them, items that you'll find around your house to help you think in that way. And that's what we're doing over these coming weeks from now all the way up until Easter Sunday. Cool, if worship today was good, wait until Easter Sunday, right? Cool. Well, we've got to wait, that's 6 weeks away. 7 weeks, 6.5 weeks away. Yeah, 6 weeks. But what we're doing, we're looking at various items. And what we're going to do on the Sundays, we're going to be looking at probably about three items on a Sunday that you will find in your house, you'll find in any house, and you can kind of think about those things. And when you go home, when you see them at home, you can think about those things again. But then when the cell groups meet, they'll think about three more items during the week. And cell leaders, you'll have your notes, and there'll be a few little things to say if you can bring those items, or somebody in the cell group, bring those items so you can kind of use them as a visual cue. That'd be good too. If you are not yet in a cell group, Lent is a wonderful time to start. Be a part of this series. We're just starting this week. Make sure you speak to Alison and get involved in one of the cell groups so you can be a part of this journey all together with what we learn on Sundays, what we kind of pick up during the week as well. So I've got a few items here that we're looking at, things that you would find or you probably would find in your own home, either inside the home or outside the home. Now, there is a very simple form of communication, a very simple couple of words that are said that always get a response, and the words are this: knock, knock. You see, it worked. It worked. It's easy. Well, it seems though you're asking. Knock, knock. Etch. Oh, God bless you. Knock, knock. Mustache. I must ask you a question, but I'll shave it for later. Knock, knock. Spell. Okay, W-H-O. I've got plenty more, folks. I mean, we could go on and on. Knock, knock. To. Actually, it's to whom. Oh, I better stop, hadn't I? Knock, knock. Police. Police, stop telling knock-knock jokes and get on with the sermon. I will do. I better stop. We were telling some jokes at home last night and getting in kind of fits of giggles. So I'm glad that night started in a positive way if it didn't end in a positive way last night. But that's by the by. We could go on. Do you know what? I'm ever so grateful for whoever came up with the knock-knock joke, whoever it was. They should really do deserve a Nobel Prize. Yeah, there you go. Think about it. So we're looking at everyday objects. The first one I've got is the door knocker. So I'm done with the jokes now. At least I'll try. Do all of you have a door knocker at home? Or maybe you have a bell. Yeah. Maybe you have both. Something. We all have something at home that kind of knocks the door, a way of knocking the door. Sometimes it might simply be you don't have a doorbell, you don't have a door knocker, so somebody has a fist. Bang, 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 bang. And knocking on the door. And this idea of knocking on the door is certainly something that features within Scripture. And we heard within the passage that was read to us from Revelation about Jesus saying, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Here I am, behold," is what the kind of older text would say. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." When we lived in Ireland, we used to sometimes get visited by a couple of people from a different religious organization, and they would come and knock on our door. You know the kind of thing I'm talking about. And they would knock on the door, and I'd go and answer. And it was two ladies would come, and they came and they asked me a few questions, and they're always a little surprised when they start to ask a question, say something from the Bible, and say, "Oh, hang on," and I'll just reach around the corner and I'll pull out my Bible. And they all say, "Oh, okay, we've got a live one here." And it was interesting to have this interaction. But they would knock on the door. And what they'll do then is they'll go away, they'll write your name down in a little book. They'll say, "Oh, number 29, Grosvenor Place." Yeah, I'll knock on their door again. So sure enough, about once a month, there'd be a knock on the door. And these two ladies would come and knock on the door. And they would ask me questions and I would challenge them. And this would go on and on. Until Jane got a bit fed up. And there was one tea time and there was a knock on the door. And I came and answered the door, and there they were. And Jane came out and she said, "Why does your church keep sending two ladies around to speak to my husband?" "What kind of church are you?" "Oh, no offense, no offense." Needless to say, that was the last we saw of them. So, just maybe a tip if you need it. But I wonder, when you hear a knock on the door, do you think to yourself, "Oh, I wonder who that is? Who's knocking at my door?" Or do you always know? "Oh, I know who's. I'm expecting so and so to knock on the door. I know who's knocking." Or do sometimes you think, "Who on earth could that be?" "Behold," says Jesus, "here I am. I stand at the door and knock." Now, this beautiful picture of Jesus is thought about the way that he is asking us to be invited into his life, like a guest. Someone knocking at the door, like a guest. Alison so helpfully found this picture of Holman Hunt. Many of you will be familiar with this picture. If you have never seen this picture before, after the service this morning, come and have a little look at it. An old picture by an artist by the name of Holman Hunt. And he painted a number of copies of this picture, the most famous of which is on display at St. Paul's Cathedral. And it's called The Light of the World, and it shows Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And the wonderful thing about this picture is, as you look at it, you find there is no handle to open the door. You simply have to knock. They call one at the Baptist Church, yeah. The handle is on the inside. From the inside that you have to open it to let Jesus in. Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to let me in?" And so we think of that at the start of Lent as we begin this journey. Jesus knocking on the door saying, "Are you going to let me in?" But there's something very interesting about that text from Revelation chapter 3. Oh, we've got to do Revelation at some point. I want to do it at some point. Something I've been wanting to do for years and years and years, a study on Revelation. You have to give us some time to think it through and study it, because it's worth looking at, but there's so many good things. But in the book of Revelation, what is so fascinating about it is not so much a story of Jesus coming for the first time, it is about Jesus returning. This is a big part of what the book of Revelation is about, is Christ's return. That's something that we think about in Advent, you know, the other side of the Christian calendar year, about the return of Christ. And so as you read the book of Revelation, you read the start of it, and there's all this imagery, and it talks about seven lampstands, and Jesus walking amongst the lampstands. And then it goes on to say these lampstands are representing the seven churches in Asia Minor. And Jesus is walking amongst them. And then he gets to one church, and he finds the door is closed. He's come back, and he finds the door is closed. And he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." A little earlier in chapter 3, you'll find that Jesus is speaking to one of the churches and saying, "I will come like a thief in the night. I will just arrive. I will come back. You won't know when, but I will be there." Will the door be closed to Jesus? So when you get back to your home and you see the knocker or the doorbell or the actual physical door, you can start to say to yourself, in this journey of Lent, there may have been a time when I've opened the door of my heart to Jesus, but where is it now? Is it still open? Or have I found it closed? Have I closed the door of my heart to Jesus? Because he stands at the door and says, "Here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." This is the first item for us to think about. Remember, says Jesus, what you have received and heard. So we've got the door knocker. Then we've also got the mirror, a way of reflecting back to us. Now, if you are ever one of those people who maybe just feels a little bit down in the dumps, or not sure of yourself, or unconfident in yourself, they say that what you must do every morning is look in the mirror and say, "Yeah. Oh, you look good." Do you ever do that? Is it just me? "Yeah, you look good. I'm ready for the day. Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror. See, look what's looking right back at me. Looking good. Here I am. I'm ready. I should stop with the jokes, shouldn't I?" That's just me thinking, "Oh, dear, oh, dear." But mirrors are mentioned in the Bible. You'll all have a mirror somewhere in your house. You may or may not like to look in it, but you will have a mirror somewhere in your house. It's an everyday object that's there. And mirrors are mentioned all sorts of times within the Bible. Many of you will be familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. People often call it the love chapter, where Paul writes about love and how special love is. And at the end of that chapter, he says, we look, when we're thinking about Jesus, when we're thinking about the things of God, it's like looking through a dark glass darkly, or looking through a mirror in a dark way. Now, mirrors at that time, the way that we know them, were a fairly new technology, for want of a better word. They would have had polished metal to use, or a reflecting pool to look in. But a mirror, a glass mirror, would have been something fairly new around the time of Jesus. So not highly polished like this, but would have given some kind of reflection, some image back. And Paul says, when we think about the things of God, sometimes it's like looking into a mirror, not quite getting the full picture yet. "I don't fully understand it yet," says Paul. "I don't fully know God yet. It's not quite sharp. It doesn't have that clear image coming back to me just yet." That's one mention of the mirror within Scripture. But if you have your Bible, let's just have a quick look at another one that James writes about in James chapter 1. Just after Hebrews, so James chapter 1. You hear it? The sound of the pages turning. I love that sound of the pages turning. Beautiful. So James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. James writes this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." The translations don't say, "Don't be merely hearers of the word, be doers also." So to anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's looking at the word of God, look what it says, and do what it says James. Otherwise, it's just like someone who looks in the mirror to look at themselves, look away, and they think, "Oh, what did I look like? I need to go back again." So be doers of the word, says James, not just hearers also. So when you look into the word, let it kind of reflect back at you, and let there be something in there that he says, "Ah, yes, now I am starting to understand. Now I am starting to know. Let me reflect that in my life." Don't kind of walk away from it and forget, just like someone who looks in the mirror and forget what they look like. We look into the word, we see what it says, and we want to act upon it. Put your faith into action. Don't ignore what Jesus might be saying to you. As we take this journey of Lent, don't ignore what Jesus might be saying to you. As you look into the Word, let it reflect back at you and remember it. And remember it. It might be that Jesus will be saying to you, you know, put your faith into action. Come on, get on with it. Grab it, go for it, jump straight in. Get real in your faith. This might be a word of challenge that Jesus might be given to you. Or as you look at God's word, you might hear Jesus say, you are my child, and I love you. And you know, when I look at you, I think it looks good. I think you look good. So be doers of the word, not just hearers. Receive the word, let it reflect back to you, and remember what it says. Jesus says, remember what you have received and heard. One final item. I went last week down to the bank to open up a bank account for Alana, her first ever bank account. She was very, very excited, had to go through all the paperwork and fill everything out, and I had to sign stuff and do all this. And the lady said, would you like a checkbook? And Alana looked blankly, no pun intended, blank check. I said, I'd stop with the jokes. I said, what on earth is a checkbook? Yeah, you remember checkbooks? Yeah, we still use them a little bit now and then, don't we? We still kind of have, we still probably have a checkbook at home somewhere. Maybe we're more used to using a little card, a little kind of debit card, and we can maybe you tap it. Or for those who are kind of ultra with it, not me, I see you pull your phone out and you tap your phone on something and it does something and you give money away and all sorts of stuff. I'll keep my phone in my pocket. When the revolution comes, we'll all be back to cash. But there we go. But yeah, so I've got a little checkbook, a bit risky leaving a checkbook sitting there, isn't it? I'll make sure I pick that up at the end. But Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, Jesus, he spoke about an awful lot of things, and he did speak about money. Really, quite a lot, quite an awful lot, actually, Jesus spoke about money and possessions. And that, again, along with talking about the book of Revelation, we will speak about money and giving and faithfulness to the Lord within this church as well, because we need it in order to keep things going. That is an important conversation we'll have at some point. But Jesus said, where your treasure is, excuse me, there your heart is also. So I wonder, what is your treasure? What do you treasure? What do you hold as special to you, maybe special to others of you? Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also. When I think of it, I immediately think of my family. Yeah, my family is my treasure. My family is my treasure. So where do I find God in the middle of that? Because where my heart is, there my treasure is also. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And is my heart, like the heart in the picture, well, is it closed or is it open? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So my treasure, my family is my treasure. So that's where my heart is. I need to make sure that my heart for God is in the middle of that treasure also. So is Jesus your treasure? As you go about your everyday life and find these objects around your house, and you might have a checkbook or a credit card or coins or whatever it might be, let it remind you about the treasure that you have and where your heart is in that. And is Jesus your treasure? If you still have your Bibles, let's look at one more reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 7. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 6 to 7. Again, well-known words. You'll have heard these plenty of times before. It says this. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. We'll use that in Advent, in our run-up to Christmas. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We have this treasure in jars of clay. That was, back then, a money box. Yeah, they could have these little kind of clay jars, and they put their treasure and their money in it, and they would seal it up, and they would know that's somewhere secure. That's my treasure right there, my little money box, this jar of clay that I have there. That's secure. That's what they do. But then we remember the wonderful story of creation, how Jesus took, what did he take? Clay. And he scooped it up and he created humankind. Ah, clay. So we have this treasure in jars of clay. That's you, that me, that's me. There's this treasure, this knowledge of God within our hearts. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also, says Jesus. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, we journey through Lent, through everyday Lent, through the items that we find within our home, to remind us of little things about our faith in Jesus Christ. The door knocker reminds us that Jesus stands at the door and says, "Here I am. Here I am. I'm standing at the door and I knock. Can I come in? Will you open the door again and let me in?" We think about the mirror. We think about what's reflected back to us. As we read God's word, we don't forget it. We let it come back to us and remember it. And we think about a checkbook or coins or a credit card, our treasure. And where our treasure is, there is your heart. So what do you treasure most? What do you treasure most? And as we reflect on all of these things, we say, where does God fit into this? Where is God in all of these things? Well, let's take a time of prayer and reflection just now. As we think about these things, if there's anything that you would like prayer for this morning, it might be opening your heart to the Lord or recognizing I have closed my life to the Lord and I need to open it again because here he is standing at the door knocking. You can receive prayer for that this morning. It might be a desire for God's word and reading his word, not just reading it, but then doing it. The Lord, fill me with your spirit that I may minister in your name. Or it might be, what are my priorities in my treasure? And where is God in the midst of that? The worship group are going to come and play for us just now. We're going to sing and worship together. Come and receive prayer for any of these things, that God may bless you in these days ahead. Prayer ministry team, come just now. Musicians sing for us. Bless you.